Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I discuss how important it is that you know the spiritual condition of your family and loved ones. You may be the only one to see your loved one born again. We delve into Mark 9 and remind you that Jesus wants you to have great faith. Darren prays a powerful prayer over the fathers listening that they would take authority and responsibility over their families and be the spiritual coverings and godly priests of the home. When you have a challenge facing you or when you need to bring a situation into your life to closure, we encourage you to bring an offering to the Lord. That kind of obedience will get God's attention. Now let's join the program.
Barbara, this is Friday, and we've talked about this before, but it used to be, it seemed like things were speeded up, but now it's like these weeks are like days that go zip, 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 and here we are already at Friday.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about three-ring circus, and sometimes we believe that we're right there in the middle of the three-ring circus. But I know there are some of you listening today, and you feel the same crunch. And especially at the end of the week, you're saying, oh, wow, I had so many things I wanted to do this week, and now I haven't gotten them done. Well, don't get crunched, and don't allow the enemy to tell you that it's all over and that you're a doofus and you didn't get it done, because God has his plan, and maybe some of those things that you had planned weren't in God's plan.
You know, I've read about some people that really do get a phenomenal amount of work done, and they talk about how they organize their lives. And some of them will tell you, in fact, they teach this, they'll say, prioritize your day every day with what's number one, what's number two, what's number three. Now, I think you can do that. Of course, you don't want to carry that too far and try to maximize every split second that you have. But I do believe that. You need to say, today this is important, and that number one always ought to be the Word of God. And I like what we talked about earlier in the week, you know, no word, no breakfast.
No Bible, no breakfast.
So anyway, we get these priorities straight, and we will get more done than we realize if we will put that down. I try to carry, in fact, I've got it right here on a yellow sheet here in my pocket. I try to keep that every day, because if I don't, I'll get so, as I don't know, discombobulate's a word, but I've heard it. You know, you get so confused, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing next. And the Lord has helped us be organized. But today we're going to be talking about Mark chapter 9. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible.
It is. And Darren, did you ever see Jesus with a secretary? Did you ever see Jesus walking along and dictating things to anybody? What Jesus did in the mornings, I believe he was with the Father. And he walked along during the day, and if he saw a blind man, he'd walk over there, and he'd heal him. In fact...
So he did that as a lifestyle.
He did that every day as a lifestyle. And I believe that we can do that also. When we see a situation, even though it wasn't in our schedule for the day, but we see a situation of being able to minister to someone, even a waitress, minister to someone at work who's maybe down... Take that time and do it, and you will have rewards in heaven. I'll tell you, it's great. It's
and you have rewards here.
Well, you know, true.
Really.
Absolutely. Yes.
And it says, you know, your gifts will make a place for you. Sometimes I think when Jesus said, I've given you a gift, or the Holy Spirit has given you a gift, he said, now consider that yours to the extent that you go out and use it. I mean, just use it. And you know, sometimes we don't do that. We keep our hands in our pockets. And even though the word says lay hands on the sick and they will recover, sometimes we're standing around because of fear of man and some kind of intimidation, and the devil sold us a bill of goods, and we say, oh, I'm not ordained, or I'm not this, I'm that. Let me tell you, if God has placed that in your heart and you have a desire to pray for people's healing, that's probably God's calling. Probably saying, listen, I have equipped you. It's not like I'm asking you to do something that won't happen or that you can't do, but go out there. And Jesus even said to the 12 that he sent out, go out and heal the sick.
Yes.
He said that. You go
cast out,
heal those people.
And cast out demons. He gave them the authority to do that. And we were just reading about that in Mark 6, Darren, this week, about him giving his disciples authority over all the demons, unclean spirits, and to heal people. And they went out under the anointing of Jesus. Now, here in Mark 9, Jesus...
Well, now, let me stop here a minute. We have a lot of people say, in fact, I was reading some mail this morning, and I switched to roles today. I asked you to drive. You're a good driver. You're fast. I just shut my eyes. I'd read a letter and shut my eyes and pray, oh, Jesus, preserve my life here. But anyway, we got here.
We're here.
That's proof that it worked.
Boom, bang, bong.
Oh, praise God. I'm going to have to wax the doors on the car again. But now where was I? Oh, I know. Sometimes we say, Brother Darren, or people say, Brother Darren, Barbara, would you pray for me? Pray for my family. Pray for my mother. In fact, one letter this morning was saying, from a dear lady who's been with us for a long time, would you please pray for my mom? She's a devout Christian, but she has some healing issues. Some infirmities have slipped in there. Well, I'd be glad to pray for you, and we try to always do that when you ask, either by telephone or when we see you in a meeting or when you write to us. But sometimes I want to turn around and say, now, have you prayed for them? I mean, you know, I'm not the only one going to be praying for your mom, I hope.
Yes.
Now, I know this lady's going to pray for her mom, but I want them to pray, too.
That concerns me, Darren. It really does. When we find people and we meet them at our meetings, at our seminars, and over the mail system, and where they say, please pray for so-and-so, and then you question them a little bit, well, do they know Jesus? Well, I don't know. Well, that tells me.
And it's family.
Yes, and that tells me they haven't sat down with them. They haven't prayed with them. They haven't sat down with them, and they haven't talked important spiritual issues with them. Darren, this is so important, especially when we have a loved one who's suffering.
You know, we got a letter today. In fact, I was reading it while you were driving, and this dear power partner said, we went back to Minnesota to see Mom. And, you know, I think it was last fall or maybe the fall previous, but we had taught this lady how to lead her dad to the Lord, and right after she led him to the Lord, he died.
Yes, and it is Michigan.
Yeah,
I think you said Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a grievous error.
That is a grievous error.
Anyway, she said there was snow, and more snow. Well, you can have the northern territories. I'll take what we have here in Denver. But I just think how delightful this lady learned to pray for her, or to lead her dad to the Lord.
Yes.
She prayed for him, and, you know, she led him to Jesus. And what we're saying, folks, is this is a cooperative deal here. We can show you some of the things, but you need to go out and try that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't know how to lead somebody to Jesus, I want to tell you, go over to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. I just feel like I ought to tell you this. You ask them if they're born again, or ask them if they're afraid to die, or ask them if they know where they're going when they die. And all of that will tell you they either are securely knowing in themselves that they are born again and everything's cool between them and the Lord, and they are ready to die, and none of us know when that day is. And Jesus said, you know, you don't know the day or the hour.
That's right.
Well, but then I think we have a responsibility, I know we do, to those we love and that we rub shoulders with. Say, well, would you like to know for sure? Okay, then you take them through what we call a sinner's prayer. And they need to confess their sin, confess that Jesus is Lord, and take them back to that Romans 10, 9, and 10. And you can read it to them, or in some cases you can say, would you read this? I'll open this up to you here, and I want you to read it. And when they read that, or when they hear that scripture, it's going to birth faith in their heart. And it says in verse 9 of chapter 10 of Romans, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you read that, or you say that and have them say it after you, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then they say that. In fact, let's just do that, Barbara. I'll read it, and then you follow me, okay? If you confess with your mouth,
if you confess with your mouth,
Jesus as Lord, believe
in your heart
that God raised him from the dead,
that God raised him from
you
the
shall
dead,
be saved.
You shall be saved.
For
with the heart,
man believes,
resulting in righteousness,
and with the mouth he confesses,
resulting in salvation. Now, I agree with you with that verse, but I think the best thing you can do is tell a person they're a sinner. They've been living in the kingdom of darkness. They were born in the kingdom of darkness, and they're living in the kingdom of darkness. They need to be born again
right.
And go to John 3. And I don't know if I do it verse for word, there in that verse in Romans 10 for everybody, Darren, because there are some people that don't understand righteousness. They don't understand any of this born again thing. So as a believer, you need to sit down with those totally ignorant relatives or loved ones and say, I want to tell you how you can have a wonderful, abundant life. Maybe not easier. And maybe, it's going to be some tribulation here, but you're going to have a life that is so fulfilling. And when you die, you know, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to be with Jesus and lead them right through how they're a sinner. They need to be born again. They need to change kingdoms and they need to repent of their sins. That's so important.
So you would take the verse in John 3:3 that says, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yes. And take all through that conversation with Nicodemus, where Nicodemus says, you mean, Lord, I've got to be born in my mother's womb again? And he says, no, you are born of water and born of blood. That means there are two different born again experiences here. So,
well, I think that's great. You can use either scripture or both. It'd be better. But if you only have time to pray for them, ask them to receive Jesus and to declare that Jesus is the Lord of their life. Admit they've been a sinner. Ask Jesus to take away the sin. I'll tell you, they will be in the kingdom of heaven when you get there.
Yes, that's right.
And sometimes you don't have time for a long discourse and a lot of teaching, but get the confession in there. And for some reason today, you needed to hear that. And I believe you're going to be happy that you've led them to Jesus.
Well, this week we've been talking about the authority and the anointing, Darren. And I would like to get into Mark 9 because right before this, Jesus has been transfigured. He took up Peter and John up into a mountain, and God actually gave his authority and his pleasure at, in this whole situation. He was saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus was going to do something absolutely dynamic in the following and ensuing weeks. But God was putting his stamp of approval on his son right here.
Now, how would that change your life to be there on the mountain with Jesus and a voice, you can't see anybody, but a voice comes out.
Well,
and said, this is my son.
It should have changed Peter, but Peter wasn't changed until the upper room experience on Pentecost.
Well,
and
until he had the Holy Spirit come on his life.
Yes, that's right. And I want to say, I was going to say something here at the very beginning. Until you received the baptism, until you received that power from Holy Spirit, you didn't feel anointed either, did you? You didn't feel anointed to pray for people and see healing and see deliverance in people.
No, I was raised against the baptism.
Yes.
And we struggled around, squirreled around, I mean, and we prayed for people and they died anyway. And we knew. And yet, you know, we were searching for the power, but we refused the power giver.
Mm-hmm.
We refused the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need to say this to many of you who are listening today. You've probably been water baptized, probably in a church baptismal, or maybe in a lake, or maybe in a stream, or in a swimming pool. You've got the outer shell baptized in water, and you went clear under. You were immersed. But what about the real you, the spirit, the hidden man of the heart, as the New Testament says? That's where the power needs to be, in your heart. And that's why Jesus is the baptizer. He sent us the Holy Spirit, and Jesus wants your spirit, your inner man of the heart baptized. That's when the power comes. And these men that ran around, that were called disciples, that ran around with Jesus for 3 years, they were not empowered with that ongoing power until Pentecost.
That's right.
And you can read that in the book of the Acts.
Well, here in Mark 9, Jesus is coming down off the mountain, and there's a crowd that had gathered. And in the middle of the crowd was his father and his demon-possessed son. And they came running up to Jesus, and they said, this father told Jesus, Jesus, I brought my son to you. I want you to heal him. This spirit in him makes him convulse. He doesn't speak. It throws him into the fire. And Jesus, I want this to come to an end right now. I want him to be healed and delivered. Well, he says the disciples tried to pray for him, and nothing happened. Jesus said to them, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. Now, just three chapters back, Darren, he sent the 12 out with authority to cast out demons and authority to heal. And they had anointing on them. Now, what caused this situation here? I believe the unbelief that was so prevalent, and he did say, you unbelieving generation. So we know that unbelief was one of those horrible, oppressive sins that was over this crowd here that day. It involved the crowd, and it involved probably some of the disciples whom had never seen anything like this. A boy who was thrashing about, convulsing, not speaking, foaming at the mouth. This probably brought some unsettling in some of the disciples.
Well, I think so. And what they were looking at, I believe there was the demon had control of this little boy's life. And the father obviously was concerned. He loved his son, but he described what happens. You know, he tried this thing, this spirit tries to throw this boy into the fire, tries to put him into the water and drown him. And in other words, tries to destroy him. You can read about that destroyer in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the destroyer was trying to take this little boy's life.
That's right. So the father says, and immediately this spirit, when it recognized Jesus, it threw the little boy on the ground again, and he was convulsing. And the father was saying to Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Ah, what a thing to say to Jesus.
Now, I'd like to come back and say this, and just look at this, folks, and observe this story. Did this little boy sin to cause that demon or give that demon a chance to come into his life? I would say no. It talks about this little boy. I believe because there's sin in the world and there are demons in the world, evil spirits in the world, they attack the innocent. And they attack when that spiritual covering in the house isn't like it should be. And that demon was tormenting this little boy.
Yes.
And you say, how could that be? Well, if you have that question, you need to know a lot more about the spirit world than you may know right now.
Well, there have been stories about moms and dads fighting and how the spirit of anger and hatred and all of this went into the little child because they're so vulnerable, Darren. And the father may not look demon-possessed at all, but he may be angry. He may be a man who is bitter of heart. He may be a man full of hate, or the mother the same way, full of lust or whatever.
Or there could be the curse of the generations.
That's right.
It says
and
in the Old Testament.
Father may not have the demon in doing what the demon was doing this little boy, but it may have come through the father or the mother at some point.
Well, okay, let's say that the father was demonically influenced and the mother, or there was something around that caused or allowed this spirit to operate there. And the little boy being the most vulnerable probably
right.
in the group that the demon took over. I would say the father was demonically influenced and that the little boy was demonically controlled. Would you say that he was inhabited by a spirit? Probably. The little boy was out of control. I don't believe that he could say, I'm not going to do this anymore. He was beyond that point. I don't believe that the father, now I want you to get this because we presented this in the Stepping into Freedom seminars, a revelation God gave us here a year or so ago. You cannot negotiate with the spirit. Now, in other words, the dad couldn't sit down and say to his little boy, now, I don't want you doing that anymore. I don't want you to stay away from the fire and stay away from the water. Well, the little boy's out of control, and this spirit here is controlling him. And the dad didn't have the power and the authority to say to this, whatever it is, and his little boy that was trying to destroy him, his dad couldn't take control of that.
Yes. Now, we may call him autistic today. We may call him epileptic today. And we had a call from a father a little while ago, Darren, that said, well, I had these same things going on when I was a little boy, and now my little boy is going into convulsions and seizures. Well, I believe that the curse of the generation can... In the curse of the generation, there can be demons very active in the children and not as active in the adults anymore. I believe, you know, you can't put a stamp on a demon and say, oh, this is the way they're going to react all the time. Demons are just as different as night and day, and they can react in different people at different times and with different characteristics.
Well, you know, I have prayed for a number of people that have been, you know, demonically controlled or influenced, and probably not too many that were actually possessed, but... I have watched those demons hide when I would come down a prayer line to pray for them. And some people around me said, didn't you see that going on, man? Didn't you? No, I said, I did not see that. That thing saw me coming and saw the anointing coming, and it was hiding out. And I've also seen this, and if you put it like this, demons come along with their first cousins. Like anger comes along with fear, and fear comes along with jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness. And sometimes, unless you're really on your toes, you don't know which spirit you're dealing with.
That's right. And they work on each other, too.
Yes, they do. So you say, well, I didn't know you guys were into that spooky stuff. Well, we're not into it, but I'll tell you, it's all around, and it's more pervasive in our country than it's ever been. Look at the spirit of lust.
Well, and we're allowing things, even as our children. Take, for example, whenever a person gets out of control, I'm saying when they're drinking, when they're taking drugs, our young people are starting out early on experimenting with drugs and with booze and alcohol and all this thing. Darren, when they get into a state where they don't even know what they're doing, I believe that that opens a door to their minds
Absolutely.
And their very
Absolutely.
Being for demons to come in when they do not know anymore what they're doing.
And I would suggest you go over and read this story in Mark 9. And I love the 23rd verse so much I put it on my license plate, but it says all things are possible to him who believes. Well, we have an interesting thing going on here. The father obviously was frustrated. He had taken a little boy to the disciples. They tried, but they couldn't cast him out. They were frustrated.
Yes.
Right?
This thing that he says to Jesus, if you can do anything.
Right.
If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Now, the father was absolutely desperate. Jesus throws it right back at him. He says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus at this point was exclaiming to him, what are you telling me, man? I'm saying that you can do it. Father, you can do it for your son. You can pray over your son and your son can be delivered. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus is throwing it right back at the father who is responsible for the son.
And so, you know, and we mentioned this earlier, I believe this week, frequently Jesus would say to the people who were asking for healing, as your faith, so be it unto you. Mm-hmm. Jesus is putting this back here in our dimension, saying, well, if you have the faith and faith's available, then these things will happen. But then the disciples later on were questioning Jesus, and I want you to talk about that, where they said, why couldn't we do this?
Oh, that's right. And right, you mean in the ninth chapter here in Mark?
Right.
Yes.
And what chapter are you in?
I don't know.
I was in 9. We were in 9. Where did you go?
Why could we not cast out this spirit?
Yeah, they were asking. You had this blank look on your face.
I was thinking about this father. And Darren, so many fathers, I believe there is an order to everything. And especially if you decide that you want to be married and in a family and under the covering of a husband and have children. There is an order here. God has made an order for the man to be the covering. And so many husbands and fathers, Darren, I'm sorry, guys. This is my soapbox today, Barbara's soapbox, are wimping out.
Right.
Fathers
agree.
And husbands are wimping out. The other day, a lady came up front for healing and her husband came from her. And I like what you say. When the lady is married and she needs a healing, the husband ought to come up with her and vice versa. If the husband needs healing, the wife needs to come up with him. They're one. And so we were asking her questions and the husband was just kind of standing there as if he had nothing to do with her healing. And when you have a wife who is in desperate needs of a healing or children that are racing out of control, you as the head of that family have the authority, the God-given authority, to take charge. And that means with scripture over your wife, with deliverance confessions over your children, and grab those little kids and sit them there, and you start preaching the gospel to them.
Well, I also think that you've got to get this straightened out ahead of time. And, you know, I think... I've never had a cattle prod used on me, but I'll tell you, some of these people need a cattle prod. They need something to get them going. And, you know, if you've ever been around cattle, if you ever watched, you know, a rancher operate, you know, when those cows aren't going the way he wants them to go, you know, up through the corrals, a cattle prod gets their attention.
Yes.
Sometimes I see people that say, you know, stand there and I'll say, this is my wife. Is this your kid? Yeah, this is my son. And it's almost like they're totally detached. They're out
gone.
There in la-la land somewhere.
Yeah.
And I want to say, listen, if you'll try, God will help you. But if you stand there like an airhead, it's not going to work. You've got to get involved here.
Remember one night on Tuesday night, this beautiful woman came up forward for prayer. She had cancer. And her husband was sitting in the back, and you said, you come up here with her. This husband was so, what you said, detached. I don't know what had happened, but she was suffering through this horrible attack all by herself, literally by herself. Her husband was gone. He was zoned out. And when they went back home, we heard from them a little bit. He was still zoned out. You were expressing to him, I want you, I believe his name was Alan. Alan, I want you to say scriptures over to your wife. I want you to pray for your wife, because that faith, the faith that that father had, Jesus threw it right back at him when he said, if you can, you know, all things are possible to him who believes. And he was throwing it right back at the head of the family, the father, and saying, you have the authority, Father, to pray for your son.
Well, not only the authority, but you have the position.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's an anointing, or let's say an office. I believe there's an anointing on the office of pastor, of father.
Father, yes.
Daddy, in the home. And if you don't activate and operate in that, then that is going to be missing in your family. And we can see children raised and women out here coming all by themselves.
Yes.
Because the husband did not take his role in the family and activate that role and speak authoritatively over that and take the responsibility for setting the limits and the parameters for the family. And they're kind of lost out there.
Yes.
Their dad's just kind of doing his own thing, you know, maybe zoned out with sports or maybe just zoned out. Well, dads, you got to get with it. You got to pay the price. And when you do, God will come right in there and honor, God will honor your office in the family and in the home, and he will go to work on your behalf. But you need to put some words out there.
Yes.
You need to say, now, this is the way it's going to be in this house. We're not going to put up with this demonic stuff.
Praise God. I agree.
And I'm going to lay down the law, so to speak. I'm going to decide here, you kids are not going to get off into this weird stuff. You're not going to wear weird clothes and listen to weird music and do stupid things. And because you're my report card for the whole community to look at, and I don't like what I see.
Would you say a prayer for the fathers, for the men represented in our radio audience, Darren?
I sure would.
For strength and for authority over them to be the heads of the house they need to be.
Father God, I thank you that we are not impotent, that you have given us the power, you have given us the office, and you've given us the anointing. Now, Lord God, forgive us where we have stumbled and failed, and we've held back with a consent of ignorance sometimes, and we just said, I just don't want to get involved. Well, Lord, that's a sin, and today we repent of that. We are going to stand up and be men. We're going to be a man's man. We're going to be the covering we need to be for our wife and for our family. And Lord, I thank you for that in the powerful name of Jesus. And Lord, I see men today, I sense men today are doing that. They're repenting and they're saying, yep, I've been one of those absentee fathers. I'm going to get up and go with it. Lord God, I know there's forgiveness for us today. There's a new power flowing, and we're going to operate in that office and in that power. Thank you, Jesus. We're not without resources. Amen.
Amen. Well, do you see the results of this in Mark 9, Darren, after Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately, it wasn't 2 seconds later, immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe, Jesus, I do believe. That is so important right there.
Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in